a mom's perspective. Wow, for a man to get a mom's perspective. We're going to do a little of that today. I became a Christian in 19. Well, that sounds funny. In 1981, I came to Christ, and it was because of the encouragement, the edification, the building up of my wife towards me. I knew of God. And I would say I even loved Him, but I didn't know Him until Sally began to speak to me about the things of God. And then the best way she spoke was by how she lived and walked out her Christian life. That's what got my attention. And then God began to unfold and put other people in my life that would just add to that. But she was, other than the Spirit of God Himself, she was the agent that God used to speak to me. So I would like to, I'd like for you all to welcome my wife as she comes to share the Word of God with you. She's going to give you a mother's perspective, but she's going to give you the Word of God in a powerful way. So can you welcome Sally as she comes forward?
Well, Mike, can you wait? There, Grandma goggles. And then, can you put this one too? Good morning. Woo, it's good to be here with you. I have a few things, just a few. Well, I'm Sally LeClaire, wife of Pastor Mike LeClaire. He's Michael to me. I'm Michael's. And we are married to each other. And we have three adult children. Josh, our oldest, is, oh gosh, what is it? It's up 34. Something like that, maybe 33. Lives in Florida with his wife Steph, and we have three grandchildren: John Michael, Sean Patrick, Olivia Marie, and here in Green Bay we have Trevor and Elizabeth. Not sure if they're here today. Give a shout out to them. Woohoo! Trevor, Elizabeth is our daughter, and I don't know. Are you 30? I don't. Yeah, you still seem like you're 22 to me. With married to Trevor, who keeps our family steady. God knew what we needed in our family. And they have three beautiful children, which are our grandchildren, and some of you have seen them running around. Mariah, Mika, and Isaiah, who we're blessed with. Love you, honey. And Jordan is married to Alicia, so we have a newlywed couple, so who knows what, only God knows what's up and in store for them, which is exciting. Well, the title of my message today is A Happy Mother's Day for All. Wow, how can it be a happy Mother's Day for all? I mean, all, everyone? Yeah, well, it's not two, it's for all. And it can be a happy Mother's Day for all because of Him. And who's that Him? That Him is Jesus. I'm reminded of the reason why I had that title too is I reminded a neighbor. They had just a horrendous Christmas. And, I don't know exactly what happened. If something burned on the stove or the presents got tipped, the tree got tipped over, whatever it was, the mom just said, Christmas is ruined. And her son looked up to me. Christmas isn't ruined. Jesus was still born. He's our Savior. It's still Christmas. And just like today, it's still a happy Mother's Day because of Jesus. So, with that, we're going to start. I'm going to take a sip of water. Are you ready? A little shaky, but actually it's probably the fire of the Holy Spirit. All right. You are wonderfully unique for giving life. You are wonderfully purposed for giving life. And you are wonderfully positioned for giving life. We celebrate you wonderful women of God. Know your wonderful status comes from God. You are a daughter of the most wonderful, amazing, high God. You are strong women of faith. And I am so blessed to be in your presence this morning. And you men, you support us. We're thankful for that and encourage us. We're thankful for that. So it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. You know, Mike said, Pastor Mike said, he said, we are set free. So I am set free today. You know, everybody thinks that energy comes from Mike. I am just keeping everything together so I just don't explode. But he said, we're set free. We're set free in Christ. So that means if I think, you know, all my gift is encouraging, I'm an encourager. I do. I encourage people, and I have mercy for them because I feel sorry for the last leaf on the tree. I have so much mercy. And I was like, no, that's not a big gift. Oh my gosh, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you are an encourager, you just want to go up to somebody and just squeeze their cheeks. And that's what I love to do. I am a mother. I like to squeeze their cheeks. I like to encourage them and say, you sang beautifully today. Dancing? No, I'm just kidding. But you are an awesome, mighty woman of God. So I'm set free because I know the gifts that he has given me, I can let loose, right? Right. And not be ashamed of them because he's given us each gift. Well, if you're able, please stand for the reading of the word. Before we do, could we bow our heads, please? Father God, you will speak to everyone gathered here today, but everyone might not hear. I pray they will hear. Although the seed of your word, it's powerful and it's effective, the soil of our hearts need to be tilled, oh God. Till our hearts so we can receive your word. So it lands on that fresh soil that is fertile, and that seed of your word will take root, and it will grow. It will grow down deep. God, teach us. Correct us. God, change us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're looking at Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You may be seated. Wow, you got a tough gig up here, honey. It's hard to remember that. I'm going to just read because it is long, but it is the word of God. So you're standing in your spirit. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. And you know everything I do. You know what I'm saying or what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to even understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there, your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I have those who hate you? Or shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them, and total hatred for your enemies are my enemies. But search me, oh God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and leads me along the path of everlasting life. Amen. Right. Wow. I am going to share with you today three things about you are wonderfully unique as a life giver. You are wonderfully purposed, and you are wonderfully positioned. Now, I am talking to the ladies, but the Holy Spirit's going to stir in the hearts of the men some things. And I'm excited to hear what that will be. So, I want to get started with three things. The first thing, you are wonderfully unique. Now, I had three women in my life. I thought, wow, my great-grandma, my grandma, and my mom. What? Just one thing, I could just tell you about them, and that made an impact on me. So, the first one was my great-grandma, and she's in heaven. She's a believer. She was a Lutheran mother and grandma and a hardworking lady. And she sewed, of course, and she baked, and she also made carpet bags. And what I received from my grandma was a carpet bag, my great-grandma. Well, to me, this carpet bag represents her belief in me. She said, you know, in our family, I have three older brothers and myself and a sister. And my great-grandma would have her grandchildren would have to go get the mail. We lived in a small town, and they'd have to go down to the post office and bring the mail back. And they would do it in this bag. And the boys got older, and it came to me. And when it did, she said, all right, it's your turn. You can go walk downtown. You can get the mail for me. Ooh, that's a big responsibility. But I was so excited because she believed in me. She gave me this bag. And I would walk down to the post office in Cambria. I would go to her box number 35. Don't tell anybody, but her combination was letters. H-A-C, hack. And I'd get that mail and I put it in that bag. And I had to do that before school, so then I had to quick hurry up and got back. And when you get back, you could just see she was so encouraging. She was so like, good job, thank you. I'd give her mail and then she'd say, okay, have a good day at school. And off I'd go. But she believed in me. You are wonderfully unique. I was wonderfully unique, so much so that my grandma believed in me, said, hey, you can take that responsibility, you can go on and get the mail. But you are wonderfully unique. You are one of a kind. There is no one like you. As women, we do tend to compare ourselves to others. We have this ability to look at, oh my gosh, I wish you were in this. Oh, you were the same thing as me. Ah. We tend to do that. But over the years, you do kind of like, yeah, who cares? I don't care. We have this ability, yes, to compare, and that's not what God wants us to do. We aren't to compare ourselves with anyone. We're not to measure ourselves against anything other than what he thinks about us. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But if we sit and compare and kind of, you know, this or that, it's like, wow, we're really saying, God, yeah, you didn't do a good job. God created us uniquely to do something magnificent in our lives. He created us. He makes no mistakes, no junk. He creates with excellence. Just like in our verse, it says in Psalm 139, verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship, it's marvelous. How well I know it. Now, when I was growing up and I read this verse, you know, all I could picture is these huge knitting needles and this big God and these huge knitting needles and just trying to, and just doing it and just, wow, I thought that was pretty cool. How tiny and how delicate he made me. But it showed me that God cares about detail. He cares the detail about me. Not so much about, oh, my eye color's this, or oh, I've got this color here, or I made it this color. And he cares about the detail in my life, physically and spiritually. And he cares about the big things, too. That's why he made you. In Genesis, it says about how we were created. In Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the things that he has instilled in us are some characters and traits of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, a guide. Oh, we love to comfort and help with those boo-boos and get those bandages on them, band-aids on them. My day was Mercurochrom. Some of you know that. A couple laughs. And, you know, Jesus, wow. That means he's all-knowing. Others know. Just like in that video. We know when something's not right. We can sense. We have that perception, that gift of knowing. It says, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. And I want you to just take a look. God created male and female. He created us to represent him. And that's what we do. We celebrate the differences. We're not here to compete, but rather complement one another and complete one another. And if you've grown up in a family with three boys ahead of you, boy, you're going to compete. You want to compete. And you can compete. And you can win sometimes. You know, sometimes. But no, it's not like that. If you look up the word helper, really the Hebrew translation for the word helper is azer. And it means to save, to rescue, to bring life. And oh my goodness, isn't that a mother? Isn't that a grandma? A nana? Yes, it brings life. We're not the helper or maidservant. We come alongside and bring life. We're someone who gives life. So we shouldn't be limited to the vocabulary of help. God's meaning goes much deeper, and we should celebrate that. We give life. Now, you might think, well, physically, yeah, we can give life, and we all, oh, women, we love to tell our birth stories, and that's something that binds us together. I mean, my mom, she'd talk about how she would just be put under, and she'd wake up, and there was the baby. And the next generation, you know, maybe one of them was Lamaze. You know, breathe through and take kids' drugs. And then it's the next generation. Bring on that epidural. And then if you didn't have time, like me, with the last one was like, well, I didn't do epidurals, I did the other. But I'd say, they say, oh no, honey, you're too far along, you can't have any drugs. No. But so we know labor, it's difficult. But you know what? Spiritually, if God has birthed something in you and you're going into labor, oh, it can be just as hard, just as painstakingly hard. Because you might be in early labor. And it's like, and then it might just die out. Well, you have to go home. You have to come back. So when God births something in you, spiritually, you know, it's like, wow. And it just is in you, it's in you, it's in you. And sooner or later, you're going to give birth to it. So it's not just about physically giving life. It's about spiritually giving life. All right. So the next thing is your wonderfully purpose for life-giving purpose. Wow. God has given us a purpose, a design, and it's our responsibility to look at how God made us and our uniqueness. Because he's made each of us unique with certain gifts, abilities. But then we're going to use it for his glory. So purpose. For we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So my grandmother, my great-grandma gave me the bag of responsibility, the belief, I can do this. Well, my other grandmother, she died at the age of 40 from colon cancer. And I never knew her. My oldest brother, he was 2, I think, when she had died and, you know, went down. And so, but they talk about her. They would say, oh, Olive, she's so kind. And I know, oh, Olive meant peace. And that just, like, was so cool. Like, wow. Kind of felt like I knew her. And I kind of wanted to know her. And then one day, my mom gave me all this stuff and all this things. Like, I was like, yeah, I don't even want this, you know, from 19, whatever. And then there was my grandmother's Bible. The person that I really didn't know her. I was like, oh my gosh, I have a Christian heritage. I mean, deeper than just maybe going to church like we did. Because when I opened up the Bible, her Bible, I can't believe this, but wow, she marked it up. I thought it was only in our day, our time, that we highlighted and we had all that stuff, but she had a few things highlighted. And one of the things I want to share with you, she says, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. She knew that her time was short. And she probably pictured, oh, she's going to be, you know, gray-haired, and live to be however long, and take care of grandchildren, and just help my mom bring them up, and all this stuff. And she just wanted them to know the Lord. That's what I felt when I read this. Because it says, even though, you know, I'm old, oh God, forsake me not until I show thy strength unto this generation. She desired to show her strength, God's strength, to the next generation, which was me and my children and grandchildren. But she didn't get to see that. But it says, they wanted to show to the next generation and thy power to everyone that is to come, to show his strength and his power. Ladies, you are prayer warriors. You can pray. This woman, who I didn't know physically, had prayed for the next generation. And here I am today. I didn't even know her, but she prayed. She wanted me to know the strength and the power of her God. How awesome is that? So you keep continuing to pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren and the next generations to come, because you are life givers. All right. So, purpose. She got into the Word. She knew the Word. And when I knew that, and I knew about prayer, I knew that was a wonderful gift. So let's look at purpose. We're going to use it for our glory. I have a story. And it's about Rahab. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Joshua, let's see, Joshua was the leader of the Hebrew nation, and they had been going around in the desert, and they were wandering, that's what the Bible says, wandering in the desert, but they were given this promised land, and because of their sin, they were still wandering. Well, it came time where Joshua was the one that was going to take them to the promised land, into it, but they had to capture the city, and Joshua sent out 2 spies. Now, this isn't the one that said, wow, the bridge, you should see this and all that. This is the one that they knew God had said, you're going to go in, we're going to take this city, because I am with you. So they two spies on this, like, scouting reconnaissance mission. Go in and let's see what the land looks like, and then you come back and you tell us what kind of work, our strategy, our plan. So Joshua sends the two spies in. Well, when they go in, they know they have to be careful. You know, they can't really be seen, or someone will know, or what's up. Well, when they go in there and they're checking things out, you know, it's a big city, it's house of bustle, whatever, but they're also aware of that there is these Hebrew people, and wow, that they have a God, they heard, that opened the Red Sea, and they were delivered from Pharaoh. They had heard about that because people talk. Oh no, people talk. So they knew that, wow, there is this God, the Hebrews. So anyway, the two spies are in there, and they know they're checking things out, and they know they have to hide. And so where do they go? Well, there's this innkeeper. And in the Bible, it says she was a prostitute, a harlot. And right there, it's like, wow, God's going to use that person? Yeah, because of a purpose and a plan that he has for Rahab. And for Rahab, she hides the two spies. She said, yeah, we heard about your God. Like, he's incredible. Like, he opened, you know, part of the Red Sea. You guys walked through and he's just with you. And our people, they're scared of you. Oh, your people are scared of us. Yeah, they are. Well, Rahab, if you keep us a secret, if you hide us, we'll save you and your household. Now, Rahab, you know, she kind of asked him about, well, yeah, okay, are you really good? Yeah, but she knew that God of the Hebrew people, somebody, something, that she would make a choice to choose. And she said to them that she would. She hid them, and then they were discovered. They went back to Joshua and told him, hey, we can take this because God is with us, and it'll be okay. So, a quick, long story short, they went in. They took the land. Rahab hung this scarlet rope tie window, so they knew where Rahab was, because they said, do not harm this lady and her household. So they go, Rahab's family, it says they were spared. Because Rahab, she had given life to them. Actually, not just the spies, but she gave life to a nation. She received life. She was spared. And all the occupants, all the people in the city, they were killed. But Rahab and her family were spared. Now, she didn't have any children, but she had, you know, parents, it said siblings. Rahab received life. And then that was in the Old Testament. What is so cool? You might not have heard about Rahab. But no, he did in the New Testament. In the New Testament of Matthew, it says her name was Rahab, wife of Salmon, mother of Boaz, who married Ruth, who had Obed, father of Jesse, whose son was David, King David, whose line Jesus Christ was born from. Is that cool or what? It is amazing. Rahab gave life. She chose to give life. And we are divinely purposed too, and wonderfully purposed to accomplish so much on this earth. Just believe in our uniqueness. Next, you are unique, you are purpose for giving life, and you are wonderfully positioned for life-giving. How cool is that? Wonderfully positioned. There is a time for everything and a season for everything, every activity under heaven. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. My position. Oh, it's not second base, it's not shortstop, it's not the point guard. That one. And it's not the quarterback. Well, it's what? Motherhood? Grammarhood? What is it? Where am I? Well, my position influence is most effective when I'm using my God-given uniqueness. So we have to know we're created image of God, we're wonderful masterpieces, and God-given purpose where he's put you. story of Esther. And some of you know that story. Esther was a queen. She just didn't all of a sudden become a queen. The Jewish people were in captivity. And Xerxes, he's from the Babylonian Persian Empire. His wife had died, but he was looking for a new queen. And of course, it's, I don't want to say a beauty pageant, but it is something like that, where, oh, the best, you know, whatever he's going to choose. Well, Mordecai, her uncle, her guardian, said, yeah, you need to, you know, be in this. This will be good. Because she was beautiful, and she was gracious, and she was kind, and the king was looking, and who does he pick? But Esther. Now, Esther, she was a Jew, right? But Mordecai, her uncle, or guardian, said, don't really tell anybody right now. You know, just kind of keep that in mind. Because there was this angst with some about the Jewish people. Well, this Haman, he was kind of the second in command, but he didn't like Mordecai, because Mordecai, you know, wouldn't bow to him. Kind of like we've heard that before, but he wouldn't bow to him, and so he just got angry about that, and more angry, and I want all the Jews, were going to kill him, and the king really didn't know about it, but Mordecai then comes to Esther, because she's in that position of being a queen. You can just go to the king, and he'll just fix everything. But there was this law, this one tiny law that said, ooh, the queen can't go to the king unless she's summoned, or he points the ring at her. Well, Mordecai, Esther says, hey, I want you to fast. Esther decides, he says, go and gather all the Jews. Gather them. Tell them not to eat or to drink. We're going to fast. Fast for 3 days. I will do that too. Because if I go to the king, which is against the law, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to see the king. Because when she went in, and there was a banquet, and she told him what Haman was going to do, everything kind of turned. Deceit was found out and all those things. And in the end, Esther had saved her nation. And the king had Haman killed. She took that step. She took that step up. I got to do it. And some of us, as life givers, we think, I don't know if I want to do it. And I'll tell you about somebody who had to take a step. And her name was Sally. And she was a wife of this one guy named Mike, who worked as a youth pastor in the back there. And yeah, she was kind of doing it. And then when she was in teaching it full time, she was tired. Baby, I'm tired. I can't go. I can't, do another Wednesday night. But things went along. And now Mike, remember in the beginning when I didn't say anything? I just lived it out. This guy doesn't really say anything like, well, you need to be at youth group. He left me alone, and he let the Holy Spirit work on my heart. Well, then, it's been 4 years. There was this thing that somebody was going to refire type of thing going on. And somebody else was going to kind of take his place. And Mike came and said, hey, Pastor Jerry's thinking about this, and Simon, this is, he said, hey, you, I know you're the one. It's like, ooh, really? Ooh. And someone we thought was like strong, like just walking for God, and was going to, cry because I know the sacrifice of it. Maybe of family, maybe of time, maybe of things that you hear, oh, this and that. And, I want that. I want to go to China and teach. That's what I was thinking. The plan. We could do that. But somebody said a word. And there's just a few things that I heard. Yeah, I'm like, it's tough. But oh, the rewards. Remember that? Oh, the rewards. Like the standard is today, say, ooh, the rewards. Because when you surrender your heart over, you take that step, like Esther did. Wow. That's big. That's big. God has positioned
which I thought was just kind of him. Okay, I know he positioned us as a couple. And was I going to take that step? Well, Esther influenced the king to spare the life of her uncle Mordecai, and she saved her people from death and destruction, a nation. Now we have another story. We have a story in Mark 6, verse 17. And I'm going to read you about it. And this is about a queen of Galilee, and her name is Herodias. In Mark 6, verse 17, it says, "For Herod himself," this was about John the Baptist. "For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put into prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife." His brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. "For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' So Herodias," it says in Scripture, "Herodias nursed a grudge. She nursed a grudge against John, and she wanted to kill him. But she wasn't able to. She wasn't in the position. Only this King Herod was. Well, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, he didn't want to do that. He didn't. We better not. We don't know all about this John thing, so we're not going to do that. Well, when Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. He'd hear him speak, and he'd wonder about things like, what about this? What about that? What time is it? Just checking. What time is it? Oh, my. Okay. Thank you for being patient. I know you're all waiting anxiously for reservations to take your mothers, your wives, and everybody out to eat. You're so good. All right, but there's Herodias, because this is very important. Herodias, she nursed a grudge against John. Well, she wasn't in the position to kill him, but Herod was. Well, when Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportunity came. And on his birthday, Herod gave a banquet, and his high officials and everybody around him. And his daughter, or her daughter, rather, she came in and she danced for Herod. So this is Herodias' daughter. She danced for Herod, and it pleased him and the dinner guests. And the king said to the girl, Herodias' daughter, he said, "Well, ask me anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." Well, she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" But she didn't know. She didn't even know. But yet, she knew. She showed her mother. Her mother would know. "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. And at once the girl hurried into the king and with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly displeased, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he didn't want to refuse her, so he immediately sent an executioner, and John was beheaded in the prison and brought back his head on a platter. And he presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. Wow. That's kind of a heavy story, but it's really impactful. Like, wow, it sounds gruesome. But the reason why I wanted you to hear this is because about nursing a grudge or having an offense and how that can just fester and grow and maybe can't do anything about it, but oh gosh, I could probably tell my daughter. Maybe go and tell her. Or maybe I could get to think or you're making me defending and all of this and that. They're hearing that. So we have to be careful of what we say. But more importantly, that grudge, we don't want it to grow deep. We don't want it to grow and fester. We're walking out our talk in front of our children. So if you have an offense, a wound, a hurt, you don't want it to take root. You don't want it to grow into a field of bitterness. We oftentimes realize we don't realize we put it on our kids or even our family or friends. But we do need to ask forgiveness. Ask God to help you forgive, and He will. Don't squander the opportunities God wants to position you for. Want to be Queen Esther? Yes. Anna Marie. Anna Marie and Esther. Rather, let's be willing vessels like Esther. We step out in faith. If I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the King, is what she said. What has God put in your hand? Where has He positioned you? Oh man, I want to work with children, you might be saying. I really wish God, I just want to work with children. Go to Pastor Tracy. Go to David Kathy. They'd love to have you. What's in your hand? Well, I really like to make some meals, and I like to cook. Wow, you do? Wow, someone just, they need some meals brought to their house. Make some meals, make a meal. Now that's just within the church. What is He putting in your hand outside the church? Wow. Well, I don't know. I do still like children, and I work here with a son. I don't know if I can work that out in the church, but you got a slew full of children in your neighborhood. Oh, man, they could just come. You can just love on them. The love of Jesus. I don't know what God has for you. But where He's positioned you is for that time and that season. And don't waste that opportunity. Look. Look to Him. So what is that about? That seed of faith. Having the seed of faith when you're positioned. I will take that step out. And that's what my mom did. I remember as a little girl, she'd wear this once in a while. It was a bracelet. And it looked like it had a marble on it. Just one marble, this little chain, and a marble. Now, I don't know if it's a one-of-a-kind type bracelet, or if some of you know that your mom might have it or grandma might have it. But inside, that little marble, that clear, well, cloudy marble, probably now, is a little mustard seed. And I don't really know the whole story behind how my mother got that bracelet, but it would be in her jewelry box that she'd wear, and I would just remember as a little girl thinking, get that in there, I have to do that. She was already planting seeds of faith to say, wow, I know I got 5 kids or whatever, and I have to trust in God for meet our needs, our financial needs. Wow, Dad had to work 2 jobs for a while. She had to have faith. Lord, I know You will provide for us. I know You will help us. She had faith. Let's do a quick recap because it's time. You are wonderfully unique for giving life. You're created in the image of God. You are His workmanship, His masterpiece, and there is no one like you. And He has equipped you with gifts and talents to use for His kingdom. He believes in you. No matter what you've done, Jesus believes in you. In John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Save the world. There's no condemnation, it says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, Jesus believes in you. So if you're sitting here today, the power of the Holy Spirit is coming into you right now because you have felt shame and you have felt, I just don't like myself. But Jesus believes in you. He believes in you that you can do this. You can do this thing called life. You can do this thing called motherhood. You can do this thing mentoring other women in the church, teaching. You can do this thing. I believe in you. No matter what you think of yourself, Jesus believes you. So, my grace is sufficient for you. He gives you grace. Well, no, I can't do it. He gives you grace. Grace is what? Grace is sufficient for you. My power is made purpose in weakness. If we feel weak, yeah, then Jesus, He's strong, right? I delight in weakness, it says, in insults and hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, you're wonderfully unique, the life-giving. You are wonderfully purposed. Your purpose to know God and make Him known. Well, how do I do this? How do I do this? My purpose or what? Or your laptop or your whatever. There's Bibles everywhere. Get into the Word of God. Get get into a translation that you can understand. And just pray, Lord, open my mind, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. Then you can open your hands to his purpose. And then you can walk through those doors wide open. In Matthew 16:13, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. And they want to say, well, how do you know I'm the Messiah? Some say you're John the Baptist, and some say, oh yeah, you're Elijah. But he says, what do you think, Peter? Who do you say I am? He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh or blood, but by my Father in heaven. He revealed it to him that he was. And you're in the Word of God. You're going to know who Jesus is because he's going to reveal himself to you. And you go in with your mind open, your eyes open, ears open, your heart open. You are going to know him through his word. And then Jesus replies after he says that, that you are the living Son of the living God. And I tell you that you're Peter. He tells him who he is. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So he tells Peter, who had a different name before, just like when you get into this word of God, he's going to tell you who you are. James, could you come up, please? Who are you? The more you get to know him, the more you're going to know who you are, what your purpose is, and where he's positioned you, because you're going to know him. The more you get to know him, the more your heart will get to know who you are. Who am I? Who am I in Christ? Have the ladies stand, please. Just, the Holy Spirit just is going to soak on you who you are in Christ. And I want every guy, every male, every whatever, you put your hands up. You don't have to touch them. You just put your hands up, because together we will know who we are in Christ. I am complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. I am alive with Christ. I am free from the law of sin and death. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me. And right now, somebody, you are afraid. You are afraid beyond, like, it's not just like, oh, I'm afraid. You are afraid and you are anxious. And it's just not like this little fear. It is big. It is weighted on you. That verse is for you. That verse is for you. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come near me, because the Lord is with you. I am born of God, and evil does not touch me. I am holy and without blame before him in love. I have the mind of Christ. Those of you that struggle with people say or think or whatever, every word comes out of somebody's mouth, it's like, wah! I've had those times. You have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name. You have peace. I have the peace of God. Passes all understanding. You have his peace. You're not anxious. Because that peace is something that you've needed for a long time. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I have the greater one living in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I have received the gift of righteousness and reign as a king in life by Christ Jesus. I have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. Thank you for your holy word. I've received the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you lay hands on the sick. You know you're like, oh, I just to pray. Just don't make the gift more than what the giver is going to do. I've put off the old man the old woman, and I put on a new man, a new woman, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created me. I have given and it is given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I have no lack, for God supplies all my needs. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I am God's child. I am born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides in me. I am his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. You are a new creature, your spirit being alive to God and the things of God. That's the Word of God. That's what's in this book. That's what I want to hear. God has you right where you are. He wants you for the task he's assigned, and no one else will do. You are the right mother for the children you have. He's designed it that way. You are the right grandma for the kids, that grandkids you have, to speak life, to speak Jesus, to live it out in front of them. Speak life, not death. There is no insignificant place of position. Every place, every moment, each season of time, it's significant. So don't just wait, I want to get to the next one. Man, this baby stage one. Then you get to toddlers and, ooh, you're running. But then you really get to teenagers and then, whoa. Oh, each season has its whoa. Embrace the goodness of God, how he created your child in each season. Remember, you are the right mom for that child. And if your relationship is broken and you cry out to him. You pray. You read his word and you pray some more for that child to come home. And he will. So take that position, that opportunity is placed in your hand to reach out to people in ways no one else can. Might not be, you might not have children, but God has put someone in your path. And you're the only one, really, that can reach out. So have that faith mustard seed. The faith that moves mountains. Trust him because in Revelation it says you can trust him because he is faithful and true. So may that seed go deep in your heart today on this Mother's Day, that he is faithful and true and you can believe it. I pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. I thank you for being patient. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the women here today. If they need that time at the altar, I just pray they come forth right now. They want to just come into your arms and go, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I need help. It might be a grandma, it might be mother, it might be, you might not have children, it doesn't matter. You are life givers and you need to be filled. You might need Jesus. In fact, if there's anyone here, you have to know who you are in Christ. You receive Jesus. Anybody here? And this Mother's Day that wants to receive or make a decision, say, I want Jesus. Anybody, just raise your hand. I want Jesus. Father God, the one that's not right, sure. Do I need him? Holy Spirit, stir in that heart. The seeds have been planted, so help it to grow. Thank you, Lord, for your word that has gone out. Thank you, Lord, that it has gone on some good, fertile soil. And may they be reminded in this spring season of planting and flowers and seeds, may they be reminded how much you love them and that they are life givers too. That they speak for you. I pray that in Jesus' name they live up their lives for you. In Jesus' name I pray and thank you, Lord, these precious women. And I pray for the men right now, Father God. They have mothers in their lives and even some of the women. Restore the hurt, Father God. Take their hearts and hold it dear. Thankful that mothers give life. But we also know there can be some hard times too. So we're mindful of that. God, place. So as they just release that to you right now, ask for forgiveness. I don't want to hold that bitterness. Set them free. Set them free, God. Set them free. For the men, Lord Jesus, may they continue to encourage and lift up the women of this church, and we appreciate them and all they do as well. So bless them, and may it be a great and happy Mother's Day for all. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for waiting. Woo!